The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Coming up, International Bible teacher Beth Moore explains how we can experience redemption from our past.
Redemption says, my God can buy back the worst season of my life and turn it around into such praise, such testimony, such a word of hope to somebody else, that He will be glorified for the rest of my life on this planet. That's what redemption says.
Next on Life Today.
Thank all of you. We appreciate the welcome, and we welcome you to Life Today. I'm James Robinson. My wife Betty and I are thrilled to be presenting Beth Moore. She is such a treasure and such a blessing. She is here teaching week after week on Wednesdays, with rare exception. There may be some emphasis sometime that she might not be here, but that's a very rare exception. She's talking about from cast down to ecstatic joy. How do you go from heartache and grief and heaviness? And we understand that.
Yes, we can.
And I don't know if we've reached the point of ecstatic joy yet, but we've reached those high points when you've had a loss in your family that you don't understand. You find that you really need to be literally held in the arms of God, and there's a peace that passes understanding. And Beth really can share clearly how we can go from the pits of despair and seeming depravity to ecstatic glory, agony to triumph. Here's Beth. Would you welcome Beth Moore?
Now listen. There's a way to know when something is oppression of the enemy. Sometimes I gotta know, is this in my own self? Or is the enemy harassing me? Now listen, there is a very big difference between oppression and conviction. Conviction. Jot down, if you're taking any kind of notes, jot down Psalm 32. Psalm 32, I think I've got a couple of verses written down for you. Okay, now listen to this. If it's conviction, because it can seem like, remember, cast down means it's to feel like we're pressed down. Oppressed can feel like we're pressed down. All right, so conviction can feel a similar way. It says in Psalm 32, in verse 4, for day and night your hand was upon me. My strength was dried up like the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin in verse 5. Then I acknowledged my sin. So, okay, we can be in a pit of sin and we think, I'm so cast down. I'm so cast down. The enemy is just all over me. Well, he may be, but sometimes when we're in a heap of sin, he doesn't have to be. Like, he can go be busy with somebody else because he's going, you know, you are doing a fine job on your own. So sometimes our problem, the reason why we feel cast down, is because we are in a pit of sin. This is how you know, because you're going, okay, I feel all pressed down. I feel all pressed down. Is that God or is it the enemy? Well, I tell you how you'll know if it's God. If when you repent, it loosens.
Yeah, that's good.
If when I repent, it loosens. Listen, repentance is not a bad word. We'll see a marquee at a church this Sunday, I come for a message on repentance, and we won't go. Because we'll think, oh, that depresses me so much. What a lie of the enemy. Repentance is out like I get up whiter than snow. I confess my sins. I get up completely pure. I mean, if you can beat a deal like that, go do it. That's good stuff. And so if it's conviction, then when we repent and begin to turn from our sin, then it begins to loosen. If it's oppression, that's a different matter. Now, I'm just going to say this to you. We can't really camp here for long, but I hope this helps. Opposition comes around. Opposition comes around. Possession comes within. Now, you and I cannot be possessed by an evil spirit of any kind if we are in Christ. We are sealed unto the day of our redemption. Ain't nothing getting in. Nothing. We are complete. It's like the lid has been sealed with wax on top of that jar and nothing is getting in and that Holy Spirit is not getting out. That's a beautiful, beautiful truth. But possession is something that comes within. Oppression, if we're thinking opposition comes around, possession comes within, then oppression comes between. Oppression comes between. It's that time when we ask ourselves, okay. Back in Psalm 42, the psalmist said, why must I go on in the oppression of my enemy? I'm paraphrasing that, but he calls it the oppression of the enemy. And in the same breath, practically, he says, where is my God? Where's my God? Okay. Oppression, even though you and I know that when we received Christ Jesus as our personal Savior, he took up immediate residency in us. But that sense of him being around us and near us, when we're oppressed, we feel that something has come between us. Between us. That's when you want to pinpoint that and go, you know what? The enemy is trying to close in on me. He cannot get in me, so he's trying to close in around me. And that is the difference. That is classic oppression. By the time you're going, if you're not in a pit of sin and yet you're going, where's God? Where's God? Where in the world is he? And I can tell you, almost certainly, biblically speaking, you are going through a time of oppression, and that means the enemy is all over you, and it is a time to get up and fight the good fight. Have you realized that most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you are listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself? Listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself. Because what we do over and over and over, we bear bad news to ourselves constantly. There's a reason why the gospel is called good news. Good news. You and I live in such information overload everywhere around us. We continue to hear bad news. The gospel is good news. Good news. And we need to tell ourselves what the gospel says to us instead of just preaching the gospel to everybody else. And I pray we're doing that, teaching it, speaking it. But listen, we need to say some of it to our own selves. You might know what I'm talking about. Some of it needs to be said to ourselves. I just jotted down these thoughts. You don't need to write this down. I just want to say it to you. Depression says there's more bad news than good. Depression says there's more bad news than good. Delusion says there's no bad news at all. Where is any badness? Redemption says God will buy back the bad for good. That God, redemption is not delusion. It's not depression. It says my God can buy back the worst season of my life and turn it around into such praise, such testimony, such a word of hope to somebody else that he will be glorified for the rest of my life on this planet. That's what redemption says. That's what redemption says. Over and over, the psalmist speaks to his soul. I'm just going to just pitch you out a few. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. He tells his soul. He speaks to it and goes, you know what you need to do? Bless the Lord. And you know what, soul? Do it with everything in you, too. I don't want to hear any of this meek stuff. Raise your voice up. Get loud like a Korahite. And I mean, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. I love Psalm 116, verse 7. Psalm 116, verse 7 says, return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. Oh, you've just got to write down Judges 5:21. You've just got to. Judges 5:21, it says, march on, O my soul, in strength. I mean, it's when you address your soul and like, you know what? Get up. Get up. Because you are the child of the victor and the conqueror. You are God as a mighty warrior, and you are in that lineage and that family. Get up. Get your sword drawn and fight this battle. March on, O my soul, in strength. See, because you may be cast down, but girlfriend, guy friend, you ain't destroyed. You're not destroyed. We can cast it down. Every imagination that raises itself up against the knowledge of God. You know what? I think maybe one reason why sometimes somebody that really loves Jesus gets depressed is because every now and then we go with God to a place where we cannot stay. The worst depression of my life was after the very first Bible study I ever wrote. I had no idea at that time that it would ever be published. I did it with a group of women in Bible study. I was not looking for publishing a book. I had no idea that it would lead to any kind of Bible study ministry. No idea. They asked me, would I write them some homework? They pestered me. I finally did it. But I studied this thing called the Old Testament Tabernacle, and I don't know what happened to me, but I mean, I was completely intoxicated by the Word of God, and to this day, I've never gotten over it. It was the most fascinating thing I'd ever seen in my life. I could not get enough of it. There would be times I'd be studying, and I would move, my books would be on the table, and I'd move them to the floor because I felt like I could not hold my head up to hear the Word that was coming. It was just, I've got chill bumps on my arms just telling you about it. And when it was done, I mean, it was like, woo! I don't even know how to enter in. I had lived in the school hours that my kids were in school. They were in junior high. From 8 o'clock to 3:30, I studied, I studied, I studied, I studied, I studied. I'd get dressed about 3. I studied, 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 studied. I'd start cleaning the house about 4. Yes. Studied, 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 studied. And then, boom, it was just over. Never occurred to me a single time that there would ever be a second one or a third one or a fourth one. Never, never, never. And I could not adapt to normal life to save my life. And it just about broke my heart. And you know, now I'm prepared for that at the end of a very, very intense season with God. Because you may not write curriculum, but you've been in a season where it was like, I mean, it was like, he just go out of his way. He's like, how is he even paying attention to anybody else on the planet? Like, I'm his favorite. I'm his favorite. I mean, he's just like, oh, where he's just tending to you. And then it's kind of up. And it's depressing. We think, how in the world? But the thing of it is, he's given us just a little taste. Yeah. I'm going to try to say this without crying because it means so much to me, but I'm not always sure that I can convey this to someone else. There are times in this life when God will thin the veil just a little. And for just a moment, you could just almost touch Him. That He feels so near. His Word feels so alive. And just as I then begin to, I'm not talking about something mystical, I'm not talking about something euphoric, but I would say for me, ecstasy. Just ecstasy. And then as soon as I start putting all my rational thoughts to it and I try to hang on to it and make a formula of it and write down exactly what I did. Did I fast? You know what I'm saying? Okay, what time of day was it? What did I have on? Anybody? Just about the time I start finding a formula, boom, it's gone. It's gone. But for just that moment, I could almost reach out and grab Him. And instead of depressing us that we cannot stay there, what if we knew one day we would be there forever? I need you to know something. In this life full of questions, it's all going to end with exclamations. Every bit of it. Behold, I'm coming soon, the end of Revelation says. If anyone is thirsty, let him come. The Spirit and the bride say, come, come. It is done, he says in Revelation 21:6. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. All exclamations, no more question marks. All of it will be answered. And all of that longing, that time when we got so close, but then we couldn't stay, all of a sudden we'll be there forever and ever and ever. And I just want to end with this. Know what happens to the devil? Revelation 20, verse 10. He gets cast down. After all of this. After all of this. After all we've been put through. After all the times we've been cast down. cast down and oppressed, there is a day coming. And Scripture says, he will be cast down. Praise you, Lord. It's a saying we say to one another, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. But I have something better for you than that, because Jesus didn't come for its. He came for people. You're going to be all right. You are. You are going to be all right. Listen, listen, right here, right here, right here, right here. You are going to be all right. If you're in Jesus, this turns out.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
I think make a believer out of most people who are sensitive enough to recognize truth. We know we win. We know we win. Even when it looks like we're not, all things do work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. I think, Betty, it's important for people to realize that this love God in the face of challenges and in difficult times is not something that normally comes about during those times if it hasn't preceded the time. I find a lot of people saying, I wish I loved God, and then something terrible happens or some pressure comes, and they start wondering why they don't get there. So I really pray that you really grasp what Beth said, in Him, in Christ, in Jesus, with Him, no matter what. He prevails over hell. The gates of hell do not prevail over us. We win.
That's right.
And it's the truth. I want you to listen to a story from a woman when she's asked a simple question. Matter of fact, it was a question, Betty, that Tammy asked, Tammy Trent, in the mission fields of India just recently, just a few days back. And she asked this question. And then the interpreter, the translator, had to explain what exactly the question was, and her response, it really took us back. Watch.
Varsha's kids are sick again, just like yesterday, and the day before that, and the day before that. It's the water, their only source of water. We dream because we can usually see the possibility of a better tomorrow. When survival mode is home, hope doesn't exactly abound.
If I had the ability to provide for you today clean, fresh water, what would that mean for you?
Though we now understand, Varsha's response floored us. The idea, the hope, the dream of clean water, or the possibilities beyond it, man, that should not be unimaginable. But that is up to us. It's up to you.
I just almost like to freeze frame on that little boy a minute. Mom says, I can't even imagine what it'd be like for me or Betty to reach down here and just take a cup, clean water. I've been thirsty a few times. Frankly, I've been thirsty on the mission field when we were where there wasn't any clean water and we'd run out, or maybe we gave away some of it, and then the day went longer and we didn't have it. It's just, but that's not the kind of thirst A lot of people have, and those people that go, like the mother and those people there to those old filthy places to get water to get for their children, and that mother said, I can't even imagine what it'd be like to be able to just get clean water for my children. And I looked at that pretty little boy. Little profile reminded me of our first grandson. Just looking at him, precious. Can't even imagine that. It's hard for us to imagine somebody feeling that way.
You know, here we so readily can go to the grocery store and buy a whole case of bottled water. We can go home and turn on our faucets, and the water coming out of our faucet is so much better than the water they have. That's the only choice they have. And it will make you stop and think when that mother says, I can't even imagine. We have so many privileges and we're so blessed here. And all she would like is some clean water for her children so they don't get sick. It's a simple solution for us. Let's make it a simple solution for them, a well that they can go to and get that pure, clean water for their babies that they so dearly love. They put their whole lives into their babies. Let's join together and drill the wells for them.
At our daughter's funeral, we sang the song, I Can Only Imagine, Andy Crisman, who was the lead singer for him for so many years, and he's at church on the move and tell us, I can only imagine. And that mother said, and we can't imagine because it's so great, our daughter's alive forever. But that mother said, I can't even imagine being able to give my children clean water. Well, let's show her what it's like. Let's show her what the love of God can do, that it's not just something we talk about, God so loved that he gave, but he so loves. When we receive his life, we share it. And Jesus said, if you give a cup of water in my name, you won't lose the reward. You won't lose the blessing I have for you. And don't try to figure out what it is. Let God bless you. But let's determine a blessing for that mother and for all those people in that village. Let's drill a well there. 500 areas like that in 12 nations. And would you drill a well? Would you say, I'll drill one there, $4,800. Would you do it? Or I'll drill part of it, $2,400. Somebody match me, or $1,200. Three people join me today. I know you can do something toward it. Listen to me, $48. Can you do that? That'll give 10 people water basically the rest of their lives, a fresh, clean water well. They'll have to have a manual pump so everybody can use it. If they have a power loss, they can get it. We're not putting it in everybody's home. Most of them don't have any way to do that. They have barely a home. But in that meager situation, could they not at least feel good and love their children and be able to imagine what it's like to give their children clean water? All right, let's give them a well. 500 different areas where the missionaries have poured their love out on the people. Now let's demonstrate it, not just in word, but in action. Would you call the number, please? Take your bank card, make the best gift you can. If you can give part of a well, do it. You give $48 or $144, we'll give 30 people water. There's a level at which you can help us. Please do it. Don't think it's too small. It's not. What you think is small may be the biggest gift in God's sight. But for those people, it's life. You want to go online, lifetoday.org, and just make your gift. Use your bank card like a check. You write a check, make it to life. But call us and tell us you're mailing it, okay? We have some very special gifts we want to send you. We want to send them to you to bless you, to show you the greatness of our God and His name's majesty. We have some witness pens that'll bless you. We have the beautiful commemorative bronze, Living Water, to say thank you for giving water. We're going to give them water for life, and we're going to tell them about the water of life in demonstration power. Please go to the phone. Be persistent. If you should get a busy, you say, I'm getting through. I'm going to do my part to share the heart and love of God. Thank you for doing it.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice. Drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, we can establish and drill 500 new water wells for remote villages in over 12 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request Majesty, an inspirational new fully illustrated book that will help you discover the promises behind the many names of God. With your gift of $100 or more, be sure to also request the Names of God pen set, custom crafted with the various names of God and the gifts of the Spirit. Also, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And be sure to request the limited edition 50th anniversary bronze sculpture, Living Water. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
I pray that you, first of all, help us give water, but that you not only ask for Majesty, but you're going to see and recognize His Majesty. First from Jack Hayford talking about Majesty. What a song. And then the names of God, what they mean to you. The beautiful pens that are a blessing, their testimony, their witness pens, the fruit of the Spirit, God's names, biblical terms that really capture people's attention as well as being a nice pen. And we're saying thank you. We're not trying to give you something to get something from you. We're saying thank you because we love you. Just like you're saying, we're going to give not only a cup of water, but we're going to contribute to give 500 wells of water. Thank you for that. Tell your friends about life today. Tell them what we're doing. Tell them the joy you experience when you change someone's life with an act of love. Thanks for joining us.
Join James and Betty Robinson July 18th through the 20th for the Awaken Now Conference at Gateway Church in Southlake, Texas, featuring inspiring speakers such as Governor Mike Huckabee, Pastor Tony Evans, International Bible teacher and author Beth Moore, New York Times best-selling author and speaker Andy Andrews, and many more, including musical guests such as Big Daddy Weave. Register today for this once-in-a-lifetime event celebrating 50 years of ministry with James and Betty Robinson. Go to lifetoday.org.
When I'm out on the road, I may want to just honk my horn, flash my lights, but then I get up next to the guy and he's the chairman of the board of deacons at my church.
Tomorrow on Life Today. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.